Last time on Jonathan Park and the Pirates of Whitby.
When the creation response team arrives at Young's house to find their precious clue, there's a fake one that leads them on a wild goose chase.
Endeavour's the name of Captain James Cook's ship.
Captain James
Cook?
Wow. Yeah.
We've got to get to that ship.
Welcome aboard, men. Please feel free to mail about the ship.
There's something right here. Oh. It looks like a treasure map.
Quick. This is the Isle of May, which is ironic. We'll be going past it later on today.
Hello, this is the captain.
Sir, it appears that we're being approached by a band of pirates.
Surprise! You're what this is all about.
What?
You're going overboard.
Hey!
And now, part two of Jonathan Park and the Pirates of Whitby.
Ryan! Ryan! Son, where are you?
I'm right here, Dad!
Jonathan! Are you all right?
Yes! But I'm freezing!
And this is the coolest I've ever been.
Praise the Lord, you're here, Dad!
Look! The Endeavor's sailing off without us!
We're trying to get away from the pirate ship!
Look! There's a great rabbit!
It must have gone from the Endeavor! Look! Here comes the pirate ship!
Greetings, creation response team. Please, come aboard.
Alrighty, one more diaper changed.
And another little stomach filled.
Martha, I'm getting a little nervous about the men.
When's the last time they checked in, Angela?
Well, last night, when Kendall asked us to continue working on the scavenger hunt as much as possible while staying safe.
Well, we don't really have anything to go on until the men find the next clue.
Actually, after Trenton and Mitch left the Whitby Museum yesterday, I grabbed the papers out of the trash can next to where they were working. It looks like they were trying to complete a limerick.
Like one of the clues for the scavenger hunt.
Exactly.
Wow.
What if Trenton and Mitch are still on the path and we're the ones on the sidetrack?
Oh.
Katie, read what you have there.
For many years, I lived here in Whitby, but he was only a visitor to this port by the sea. His most precious possession in this village was made when in town, up is where he stayed. To continue your journey, looking up will be the key.
Who lived in Whitby? And who is the visitor?
And what was his prized possession?
Katie, why don't you send the limerick to our entire team? Even the boys back in the States. We'll see if they have any ideas.
What are the pirates doing over there?
They're probably figuring out what to do with us next.
Those men with the guns are keeping an eye on us. We're captives.
Isn't it funny that the crate ended up here on the beach with us?
Hey, Ryan, open it up and see if there's anything useful.
But don't attract attention.
Look at that. Looks like a bunch of swords and other costumes from the Endeavor. Nothing useful. Oh, hey, here's a biography on Captain Cook.
So you've all double-checked your watches and radios, right?
The seawater killed all of them.
Except for my Boysenberry PDA. I had it in its watertight cover. But there's no signal whatsoever here.
But Grandpa, isn't that a shortwave radio sitting over there on that table?
Why, I'll be. I didn't even see that. Kendall, if I could sneak over there, I might be able to hook up my Boysenberry and actually connect to the internet to send a message for help.
If they caught you, who knows what they'd do to you.
But it's worth the risk for my family.
Mitch, at the museum you cleverly pieced together the limerick, and now it's not making any sense to you?
I just can't wrap my mind around the identity of the visitor. Or why we'd have to look up to find the next clue.
Mitch, soon the creation response team's going to figure out they're on a bum steer. And trust me, before that happens, we want to find the treasure.
Hey, old man. Get away from that radio.
Well, I was just...
I want you to stay with the others. Now get back, Clary. Now!
Benjamin, you doing okay?
Well, I'm doing fine. I just connected long enough for some of our email messages to download. But I didn't have time to send anything.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, look. Oh, here's one from the ladies. They think they've found the next clue.
But how? They would need the one from here first.
It says, for many years I lived here in Whitby. But he was only a visitor to this port by the sea. His most precious possession in this village was made. Now, when in town, up is where he stayed.
Who's this clue talking about?
Wait a minute. I've got the answer right here in my hand.
The book on Captain Cook.
Yes, look who it's written by.
That's right. I forgot that George Young wrote a biography of Captain Cook.
And I just read that when Cook was in Whitby, he stayed in the attic of the Walker House. Kendall, what if Trenton and Mitch found the last clue ahead of us and planted a fake clue?
And sent us all the way out on the Endeavor for absolutely no reason.
Oh, think about it. Our host was hiding clues 150 years ago, but the replica of the Endeavor didn't even exist back then.
I can't believe it. We fell for it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, we need to tell the ladies so they can find out the next clue before Trenton.
And to have them send help. Kendall, I'm going to sneak over to the ham radio one more time and send out a quick message.
Dad, please be careful.
Katie, I'm glad that you and Grandpa Benjamin were able to chat for a moment online. Without his information, it would have been pretty hard for that clue to lead us here, to the Walker House. It was kind of strange. Grandpa was about to tell me their status, and then suddenly he went offline. Probably a bad radio connection on the Endeavor. They should be landing in Aberdeen later this afternoon, and then rejoining us back here in Whitby by tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, so this is the very room where Captain Cook stayed when in Whitby.
For an attic, it's so bright and cheerful inside.
The clue says to look up. It's got to be here in the wood beams.
Look at the reinforcing plate connecting these two supports.
Well, I see it. It looks like the corner of an old envelope starting to poke out.
Katie, do you still have that pocket screwdriver in your purse?
Yeah, here you go.
Oh, thank you. I'm guessing that if I pry this open just a little, here it is.
Yes, it's got the Polar Star seal on it.
We're back on the trail again. So what's it say, Mrs. Park?
When he was young, in my arms he would climb. I was the tallest of them all when he was in his prime. Dig at my feet, and what you seek will be unveiled. When he grew up, his name without him sailed. On a dog that became the best-known voyage of all time.
A dog that became a voyage.
Wait, I think I've got it.
How, Mom?
The beagle is a dog.
Oh, wait, the ship that took Charles Darwin to the Galapagos.
Oh, so I guess Darwin's going to be our next historical figure.
No, I don't think so. His name sailed without him.
What was the name written on the ship? I mean, was it on his luggage or something?
Just before the trip, Charles Darwin was given volume one of Charles Lyell's book, Principles of Geology.
Charles Lyell's name went along for the trip. Without him. That's it. Lyell was a geologist, right, Mrs. Park?
Well, not always. I think he lived from 1797 to 1875. And from the time he was a boy, he had an interest in studying the world around him. But when he graduated from college, he became a lawyer and later went to France. That was where he fell in love with geology.
During our homeschooling, your father taught that Lyell became a member in the Royal, Geological, and Linnaean Societies.
Yes, he really excelled in science. Now, do you remember the contribution made by James Hutton?
Well, he's the one who believed that the Earth was very ancient, and that the continents were sinking, and then reforming over millions of years?
Yes. Well, Lyell picked up on Hutton's theories and continued to popularize them in his generation. He wrote a book called Principles of Geology, which has been one of the best-known geology books of all times. Sadly, it taught that the Earth was very old and challenged the biblical worldview.
He eventually went on to become the professor of geology at King's College in London, didn't he?
He did. And he's also known for his famous research trips throughout the United States and Canada. He was gathering more supposed evidence of an old Earth, including his famous trip to Niagara Falls.
I remember when we were there, we learned that he had stated the age of the falls as being much older than the evidence really showed.
Yes. While he made excellent scientific observations
His interpretations were wrong because they began with the assumption that the Earth was very old.
Mom, sorry to interrupt, but the tracker says that Trenton and Mitch are approaching.
Oh, no. Look out the window.
It's them.
We've got to get out of here before they see us.
Wait. First, we have to hide the clue again.
What?
Shh, Summer. Shh, honey. It's okay. Shh. I see what you're saying, Angela. If we put the clue back, then they won't know we've been here. They have no reason to come after us. I know the men would prefer if we play it safe.
Instead, we're just going to use our head start to beat them to the next clue.
Quick, let's put it back and get out of here before they see us.
Look at them over there playing with their swords.
They took every last one out of the crate.
How ironic. Modern-day pirates playing with swords, just like their ancestors.
Whoa!
What's wrong, Dad?
It's my phone vibrating. I thought it was totally dead.
Maybe it's drying out a little.
It says I've got a message.
What? Give it a try, then.
Al, it's a little hard to use. The display's not working so great.
Hello, Kendall. According to your last instructions, we're still continuing to investigate. We believe that our next clue leads to Bartley Lodge, where Charles Lyell grew up as a boy.
Really?
I'm assuming that you guys are almost to Aberdeen, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you back here tomorrow. Thanks, honey. Bye.
You were right. The clue here on the island is a hoax.
Dr. Park, can you dial out for help?
Ryan, I'm already dialing. No, it's not working.
They said that the next clue is leading to someone named Charles Lyell. We've talked about him before, haven't we?
That's right, Ryan. Charles Lyell was a very strong advocate for the old Earth.
Why did he believe that?
Well, do you remember what George Cuvier taught about the history of the Earth?
He said it had been a long series of catastrophic floods that caused the geologic layers and buried the animals that became fossils.
Yes, and Lyell had studied Cuvier's ideas. And then while in Paris, he met Constant Prevost, who had worked under Cuvier. Prevost had since completely rejected Cuvier's ideas about catastrophic floods. This thinking had a huge impact on Lyell, who began to believe the idea of Noah's flood and catastrophism was foolish.
Wow, Prevost really had an impact on Lyell.
But he wasn't the only one. Lyell had read James Hutton's book, Theory of the Earth, that proposed continents gradually sink and then reform, only to be lifted back up.
Wow. So Lyell became the new supporter of the old Earth theories.
Well, yes, Jonathan. And when our team was back in Scotland, we talked about how Hutton was wrong about his assumptions. And Lyell unfortunately continued to build on that very wrong foundation. And sadly, many of his day and ours rejected the Bible because of his work.
Hey, Kendall, why don't you try your cell again?
Good idea.
I'll take that.
Hey!
What?
You crushed it!
Well, there goes that chance of getting off the island.
Be quiet, old man. Time to move. The captain wants to see you, and he's not too happy.
Mother and father, I'd like to introduce you to Timothy Flanagan, one of my masters at the law firm.
Hello.
You mean former Master Marshal. And now here we are celebrating your entry into the United States Congress. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have some potential clients that I must entertain.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Marshal, the Lord has poured his blessing upon you.
Mother, why must you bring the divine into every conversation?
Oh, my son, what has driven your heart so far away from your Creator?
Surely from our correspondence, you know many geologists of our time have sufficiently proven the antiquity of the Earth, in contrast to the Scriptures. But let's not talk of this. Tonight, we're here to celebrate. Now, if you'll excuse me, I would like to shake a few hands myself.
So, Captain McNulty, what do you want with us?
We know this scavenger hunt promises treasure, and that you received a treasure map of the Isle of May.
I told you I was watching you with me good eye.
Look, the map's a fake.
Oh, really? What do you think of that, Robbins?
What a shame that they've come so far, and suddenly your map turns out a fraud.
Someone else made the map to get us out of the way.
We will be turned from the treasure by your tall tales. I'm giving you 5 minutes, and then you're using the trusty map to lead us to the treasure. Or else... What, Mr. Robbins?
We'll be feeding the sharks of the May.
Well, if they don't believe us when we tell them there's no treasure, let's show them.
You mean we take them to the end of the line so they can see that there's no treasure?
Exactly. Now let's review. The hidden characters we found on the map spelled out the words at the foot of the bishop.
What better place could we find the foot of the bishop than at the ruins of a monastery?
Okay, Katie, how far have we got to get to Bartley Lodge? We're about halfway there.
So, Mrs. Park, how'd you figure out it was in New Forest anyway?
Well, we already knew the clue was about Charles Lyell. He was young and in his prime. I just had Katie do some quick research.
The Lyell family lived in a hunting lodge known as the Bartley Lodge.
So what about the part about climbing in my arms?
I'm guessing that it has to be a tree.
What's that sound?
Oh, no. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sound of a flat tire.
Here comes a car. Maybe they can help.
Oh, it was Trenton and Mitch.
Oh, no. Well, I guess they found the last clue.
I hate to say it, but it looks like we're going to have to spend the night close by.
They're watching our every move. Let's just keep digging.
So, Dad, what exactly is this place?
Jonathan, this is the site of an old church that's now in ruins.
Boy, it's getting too dark to see. I pray our wives are doing okay. We need to get off this island and back to them.
They're probably tracking down the next clue about Charles Lyell.
So, Dad, it sounds like Lyell's main contribution was uniformitarianism.
Yes.
Wasn't it Hutton that really started thinking uniformitarian ideas? Like what we learned at Secker Point?
Yes, but Hutton wasn't the best writer. So at first, his theory wasn't well accepted. But his friend, John Playfair, wrote a book in 1802 called Illustrations of the Huttonian Theory of the Earth, which began to take Hutton's ideas to the general public. Then, in 1832, a University of Cambridge professor came up with the actual term uniformitarianism. However, it wasn't until Charles Lyell wrote Principles of Geology that the idea really became accepted.
And sadly, it was during Lyell's time that we saw the popularity of ideas like the gap theory and the day-age theory.
It was the fulfillment of 2 Peter 3:3-7, which says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished."
And if someone truly takes Lyell's teaching to heart and denies the past judgment of the flood, they're also going to deny the coming judgment.
Yeah, and that is why this theory of uniformitarianism is so dangerous.
Oh, what's wrong, son?
Bring that torch closer!
It's a skeleton. I remember reading that this temple was built on a burial mound.
Hey, Jim, did you know the lighthouse here on the island has a phone?
Shh. Here comes another pirate.
You try to escape, they'll make you sorry. If you want to know my opinion, when McNulty finds your treasure, he and Robbins will keep it all for themselves. Did you know that just off the shore, on the west side of the island, is a giant stone pillar called the Bishop?
What?
No, we had no idea.
You get us to that rock, and we'll handle McNulty and his men.
And speaking of that, we better get a little shut-eye before the adventure begins again tomorrow.
This looks like it. The Bishop.
What an incredible formation. It's a huge tower standing out in the water all by itself.
Oh, wow. It looks impossible to get to.
Okay. You!
Me?
You're going down there after the treasure.
What? No. There's no way I'm letting my son go down there.
It's not your choice. Jonathan, your entire team has got knives to the throats. Now, son, you have two choices. Watch your family suffer, or climb down the rope, swim over to the rock, and retrieve the treasure.
Here we are.
Yeah, and it already looks like Trenton and Mitch have been here.
And the little ones are sleeping. I'll stay here in the car.
Wow, Bartley Lodge is so beautiful. A large rock building among the backdrop of trees.
Okay, let's look for the tallest tree.
Oh, Lord. We know you are sovereign over all things.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Oh, I'm sorry. You startled me.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the groundskeeper here. I've been following your story. You see, I grew up here. Me dad hunted in the lodge before our hotel. I myself climbed that very tree.
It sounds like a wonderful childhood.
I found there was something very special about that tree. Something you might be interested in.
What?
I am more than just the groundskeeper. I am the keeper of this.
Oh, my! It's the wooden box with the polar star seal! Our next clue!
And I've been following those blokes who keep trying to be your undoing. I saw them poking around the tree, but then I run them off.
Where did you get this from?
When I was just a boy, I found it buried there under the tree. I realized that it was a clue, but I finally gave up on it myself. And this box sat in a drawer for years. Then a few months back, I heard about your scavenger hunt, and I saw the same polar star logo on my box. I knew that you'd be by the lodge before too long, so now I turn it over to you.
God is so gracious. Like it says at the start of Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." You kept the box all this time. How can we ever repay you?
Find the treasure, and the Lord will repay me in his own time.
Jonathan, are you okay?
I've got the box.
No, bring it back up here.
Be careful coming back up.
Why, William, what in the world are you doing? Put down that costume sword.
I know that from the start you never intended to share the spoils with us.
And you intend to stop us on your own?
By no means, men.
Oh, so it's mutiny, is it? Get them.
But we left all our machine guns and weapons on board the ship.
So what do you have to fight with?
Oh, we have the swords left over from the Endeavor.
Then put them to use.
Son, just hang on. Guys, grab the rope with me. Let's hoist them up.
All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three.
All right, son, come here.
Oh, good job, Jonathan.
All right, quick. Let's open it up before they notice us.
What is it?
Why, on top is a white flag with a note. You'll need to wave this creation response team. It's time to surrender. You were right all along. It was Mitch and Trent.
Whoa.
Kendall, now's our moment to get away to the lighthouse for the phone.
So after you ran to the lighthouse, how'd you get off the island?
Once the pirates realized there wasn't a treasure and that the authorities were on their way, they got off that island fast.
Dad, we got to see the place where Charles Lyell grew up.
Yeah, this scavenger hunt has certainly provided all of us with incredible opportunities to learn about the history behind the evolutionary movement, too.
Actually, Jim, I don't think that we could say that Lyell was an evolutionist for most of his life.
Well, that's interesting.
Well, he didn't see how gradual evolution from animals to humans could explain where man's reason and spiritual nature come from. Lyell strongly opposed the thinking of Lamarck and others who were promoting evolution at that time.
So how did the evolutionists of that day respond to Lyell's opposition?
Well, they argued the fossil record showed an unbroken evolution from simple to complex creatures. But Lyell pointed out gradual progression didn't actually exist in the fossil record.
It sounds like he did a good job refuting evolution.
But sadly, toward the end of his life, Lyell reluctantly submitted to evolutionary ideas.
Why?
Well, in the end, he finally decided that there were only two options, and Cuvier's catastrophic model was incompatible with Lyell's slow and gradual model of uniformitarianism. So, in the end, he unenthusiastically chose evolution, and he encouraged Darwin to publish his book, and even backed evolution in the final edition of his own Principles of Geology.
So where'd he go wrong, Dad?
Trading the uniqueness of man to hold on to uniformitarian ideas. Sadly, many Christians say that they just accept the millions of years, but not evolution. But the fact is, the reason for the millions of years is to accommodate the supposed evolutionary progression in the fossil record. Like Lyell, if someone's truly consistent, they must accept evolution if they believe in the millions of years.
Okay, let's open the box we found at Bartley Lodge and find out what's in there.
Oh, look, how cute. It's a little ceramic building.
So how's that lead us to our next location?
I know one thing. As a team, we'll do our best to crack the mystery.
And no doubt, it'll lead to more exciting journeys.
Yes.
You've been listening to Jonathan Park and the Pirates of Whitby. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Park and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanpark.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanpark.com. Be sure to listen to the next album in the Journey Never Taken series when the Creation Response Team searches for the disappearance of the HMS Beagle in Jonathan Park and the Search for the Beagle.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Park reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.